This is our parental warning. We do sometimes swear on these podcasts, and this is one of the podcasts that we ended up swearing on. Just wanted to give you a warning in case you were listening with your children. And if you don't hear this warning at the beginning of a podcast, that means it is child safe.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Sports Fans Unfiltered Show, the Minnesota Sports FU show, where misery does love company. It is Nick with Brandon and the great Heather Rule joins us once again. We found a couple of minutes in her busy schedule for her to be able to sit down with us. Heather, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm, you know, kind of exhausted from the sports grind here in March with tournament time. But yeah, it's a good grind. It's fun.
Well, that it's always a good grind is better than a not good grind. That's been my experience in life. But let's get into it because, boy, there have been several things going on, all of it interesting. And frankly, Heather's been all in the middle of all of that. So with no further ado, let's first talk about the Gopher men's basketball NCAA tournament selection. Do you think they were sort of satisfied with the outcome of the Big Ten tournament for them?
I guess I'm not really sure from their perspective. I think probably the injury to Akeem Springs, I think, is kind of overshadowing everything right now, and understandably so. I know that was a thing that, you know, is being talked about even now going into the NCAA tournament is, you know, what's the loss of Springs going to do? Since he's just been such a leader this year, he was, you know, brought in as a transfer, and he, you know, all throughout the year, you know, Patino and all the players, his teammates, have said how much of a leader he's been, and he really came through on the court as well. He was, you know, great with the 3-point shooting, and you know, that wasn't the only part of his game too. I mean, he'd drive the lane sometimes and get the points inside. And So I think that if there's one thing that maybe is worrying, you know, fans or the team, it would be that, because that definitely takes away some of the depth from their team. And especially if you get, you know, some of the guys like happened the other day, and, you know, throughout the season for guys like Reggie Lynch and sometimes Jordan Murphy getting into foul trouble, you're going to rely on, you know, some of those other bench players to step up. And I think especially Dupree McBrayer, again, he started out the season as a starter, and then Patino made the switch and kind of put Akeem Springs in that starting role. But I think McBrayer has a pretty good ability to take some of those outside shots. And, you know, I think he knows he's probably going to have to step up a little bit. But as I guess going back to the Big Ten tournament, I think it was, you know, maybe a little disappointing to see them lose to Michigan like that. Mm-hmm. I think there was probably some optimism going in that they, you know, would have a shot at winning the tournament.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's, you know, I think they'd be much more satisfied with making a run in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Okay, so they get the 5 seed. They're playing Middle Tennessee. We know that. They're in that south bracket, relatively close to home in Milwaukee. That's all to the good. My other question for you is, based on expectations coming into the season and then how the season went, you know, are they playing with house money at this point?
I think so. I think it's something that really can't be said enough in my mind, as far as the turnaround that this team has made in just a year. You know, they just had a lot of good additions of players. You know, they had, you know, Reggie Lynch in here. Jordan Murphy played a lot better than he has in the past. Freshman Eric Coffey. You had Eric Curry. And so all these guys, I think, are, you know, just real good additions to to the team that didn't have really any depth last year, and then just the wins they were able to rattle off, and especially coming back from losing five in a row.
Yeah.
You know, they had a players-only meeting, and I mean, I think at that point, people were probably thinking, yeah, okay, well, here we go again, and same old team, but,
mm-hmm,
you know, I think what they were able to do is definitely been successful, and I think even if they were to lose in the first round, I think there'd be some disappointment, and you'd have the cynical fans that would say, oh, you know, same old thing, and, you know, Gophers lose again, and you know, especially going into being the high seed. But, you know, I think the way this season has gone, it's definitely brought back a lot of excitement. Like, people are talking about Gopher basketball again.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that they just haven't been relevant for a right. while.
Right.
So I think it's a success either way, just to see, you know, what they've been able to accomplish this year.
Yeah. You were at the media event this evening, I think you said, any interesting tidbits come out of that it gives you an eye or us an eye into sort of how they're approaching this first round game?
You know, to be honest, not too much yet. I haven't had a chance to go through all my recordings from the interviews I had with players and with Pitino. I think they're excited. I know one thing for sure. Pitino was excited that it's not going to match up with him and his dad. he kind of didn't want that to be this overshadowing storyline. You know, he said it's pretty cool that we're, you know, father and son duo in the tournament, but he's kind of glad it didn't match up that way.
Yeah.
So, and going back to the Akeem Springs thing too, that was another thing that, you know, the media was asking a lot of the players, is just kind of how they're, you know, regrouping and, you know, how they're going to practice and prepare without him. And, you know, they all seemed pretty positive about it. I think there's acknowledgement that, yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big loss. But, you know, again, they would talk about what a great leader he is. And he's, you know, he's been really positive throughout this whole thing too. I mean, obviously he has an injury that, you know, ended his basketball career.
Right.
He's, you know, still going to be there as, you know, a support for the rest of the team. And, you know, I think they all know that they're going to have to step up in, you know, whatever way that is, if it's, you know, McBrayer playing a lot more minutes or, you know, trying to hit those shots. I think that's, you know, that's something they're going to work on in practice this week, is figuring out, you know, how to survive, you know, this loss, not let, you know, and I don't want to make too much of it, you know, like it's the whole team or something, because I don't think that's the case either. But, you know, and he wasn't playing that well the last few games. I think he might have had a back injury or something going on. But, you know, so there's other guys on this team that can play well and score points, and Reggie Lynch, you know, can block shots, and Jordan Murphy grabs the rebounds. So I think they're feeling good about going into the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you, with the game, with their first round in Milwaukee, do you expect Gopher fans to travel pretty well for that?
I do. I would hope so anyway. I think it would be a little embarrassing, I guess, if there wasn't a big following. I know the barn this season has been pretty packed for quite a few games, and I would definitely hope that, since it's, you know, like I said, just with all the excitement with this team, and it is so close, it's just, you know, a few hours away.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to go cross country or make a flight reservation or something. I would hope that they would travel well and support this team.
Yeah. All right. Well, they are in action on Thursday, opening day of the tournament, or actually, I guess, the opening day of the full tournament. Will be very interesting to watch them. Thank you for that insight. And, you know, I bet it was kind of interesting to follow that team this season. And so here's to hopefully you get to do it again in the near future. All right, before we move on here to the Minnesota High School Hockey Tournament, which did just conclude, let's take a moment to talk about our guy, Tony Hoagland, your State Farm agent in Champlin.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you are one of them, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin can help you get to a better state, because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help you put together a policy that has you written all over it, from cost to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin and officially get to a better state with State Farm. And you can reach Tony at 763-421-4900.
Okay, so the 2017 iteration of the Minnesota Hockey High School Hockey Tournament, the boys' tournament anyway, did just conclude. Grand Rapids on the one end and Hermantown on the other end. You were also there, and Heather, and writing some stuff, I believe you said, for Cold Omaha, which is a great site for good sports coverage. You can find Heather and some other terrific people. Giles, I believe, is there, and as well as a whole host of other strong writers, so definitely check that out. But give me your sort of 30,000-foot view thoughts on both of those winning teams, Grand Rapids and Hermantown.
Well, for Hermantown, that was definitely the exciting game of the day. I think the Class 2A final was, you know, it started out 4-0 for Grand Rapids, and some of us were thinking, well, this is going to be the dud game of the tournament, which usually happens in the quarterfinals, but this was actually a very good tournament all around, with pretty much every game was a good game. And you know, even the last one was decent. I mean, Moorhead, came back a couple of times and tried to make a game out of it, but getting down 4-0 is pretty tough to come back from. So jumping back to Hermantown, they won back to back. So they have three Class A titles now and only three. I know, people love to do the, okay, move up to Double A debate, which, you know, I sent out a tweet after the game. It kind of got annoying because it was such an exciting game. They won it in double overtime. It was the last 20 seconds of double overtime, and with about 5 minutes left, they thought they won it. They did the whole celebration, threw the gloves and sticks in the air, and then they said the goal was under review because of goalie interference, and they ended up calling it back. So they had to pick everything up and go back to playing. And so, you know, that was one that could have gone either way. I think after a momentum swing like that, Monticello, Annandale, Maple Lake, and I know they were hoping too that it'd be their chance to kind of capitalize. But Hermantown, I think it was just a shot from the point. I think there might have been a lot of traffic in front of the goal. So they ended up winning, and they were the number one seed too. I actually covered their first game. They came down and played Wayzata, so it was the two state champions from last year. They lost to Wayzata, and then I think the next night they tied Lakeville South, who was also in the AA tournament this year. That was it. They won the rest of their games. They finished 29-1-1.
Wow.
So they're definitely a very good team. And, you know, I think a lot of the flack for wanting them to move up is Bruce Plant, the Hermantown coach, who's just really fun in the post-game press conferences. He's very just outspoken and just, you know, tells it like it is. And he was never shy about saying things like, you know, the private schools, St. Thomas Academy specifically, wanting them to move up, because for years Hermantown had been in the championship game, and, you know, they were losing to Breck or to St. Thomas. And so I think people are kind of giving him a taste of his own medicine now, like, okay, the school's moved up, why don't you and he was asked, and he just kind of said, no, we're not going to move up. And I haven't looked at their situation too closely. I think it's totally understandable for them to be in Class A. You know, if they were to move up, I don't know if they would. I guess I don't know if they would be able to compete as well with the AA teams or make the state tournament, I guess, whatever section they would be in.
Let me ask you in general, are you for or against the two class tournament?
You know, I since it's kind of all I've known, I guess I'm okay with it. I know it's a huge issue. My parents both really liked when it was just one state champion. And, you know, so I can kind of understand both perspectives. I think what gets annoying to me is the debate about whether teams should move up or not. What frustrated me about yesterday was it was such a good hockey game.
Right.
And it was just so fun and so exciting. And right away, everyone's just starting to talk about moving up.
Yeah.
So I think that can overshadow some things. I think I'm fine with the two classes because, like I said, it's kind of what I've known and grown up watching. And I do think it does. I mean, it gives those smaller schools a chance to come to the state tournament as well. And if there was just one state tournament, you know, they might never get there. Not that I want to see, like, you know, basketball has like four classes or whatever it is, which I think is a little much, but
right.
I mean, I think I'm, you know, it's, and this tournament too, in particular, was, like I said, very good and very competitive, and you didn't have those like blowouts in the quarterfinals or anything. So,
yeah, I guess I'm about to date myself along the lines of your parents, but I do remember the one class tournament. I'm a fan of the one class tournament. I loved seeing the small schools go up against the big schools and have it not be any sort of a foregone conclusion in either direction. So I don't know if that makes me just old fashioned or resistant to change or what. But, you know, so expand the pool and figure out some other way to ensure that there are small schools. Or I don't know why that, and I know you're not saying that, but I don't know why that has to be mutually exclusive from having a one-tier, one-class tournament anyway. So right. I think, you know, we just showed our kids literally last night. We watched the movie Hoosiers for the first time with them. And they loved it. And I think there's something to be said for the little tiny Hickory every now and then rising up and punching Goliath in the face. I think that's great.
Yeah. And I do think it's the other thing about this tournament, especially with the quarterfinals, was there was a lot of upsets right away. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I kept saying kind of screwed up some of the storylines I was looking to write on some of these premier players. But, you know, that's the other cool thing too, is I'm always interested to see what upsets could happen. Mm-hmm. And we had Eden Prairie go down, and right away St. Thomas Academy went down. And I think that's always intriguing too, to see, you know, to see these teams. I mean, Monticello, Annandale, Maple Lake, they were unseeded and they made it to the championship. So I think that's really cool too. And I also want to mention, I'm not advocating for like an everybody's a winner kind of thing.
Because right.
I also watched the end of the third place game with Eden Prairie and Lakeville South for Class 2A yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it's like this in all the other sports too, but third place, they get a trophy and medals. And fourth place gets a trophy.
Ugh.
Which I just think is ridiculous, because fourth place means you lost two games. You won the first one, but then you lost the next two. And so you don't deserve a trophy for that.
No.
I mean, that's also why I'm glad, you know, if there's going to be a consolation bracket, which they do, you know, I am glad they do call it the consolation champion rather than like, oh, fifth place, because they did come back and win two games after losing the first one. So little things like that, it's like, you know, if you're gonna have a consolation bracket, which, you know, I'd be fine if maybe they didn't too, but I think a trophy for fourth place is just kind of
and frankly my personal feeling on that is the coach who accepts a trophy for fourth place, that's not the guy I want coaching my kids. That's absurd. I didn't know that happened. That's extremely disappointing. That's actually, frankly, pathetic. And if that was me as the coach, I would instruct my kids to leave it on the ice. You didn't win anything. You really just didn't win anything. So I think that's too bad, but I agree with you there. All right, so high school hockey tournament is still just a tremendous event. You know, it's been too long for me personally since I was there to see it in person, any part of it, and so one of these years I got to make a point to come back and do that. But I'm glad for you that you got to see it in person again, and I'm glad for everybody that they are able to benefit from your coverage of it. So high school hockey tournament, there you go. And if you didn't catch it, a couple episodes ago, we did talk to Chris Cuthbert of TSN, and who shared some of his memories of calling the high school hockey tournament way back in the day. And Chris was a tremendous pro, both when he called the games and then also when we talked to him about it. So check out that episode on MNSPN.com. All right, Heather, let's talk Minnesota Wild a bit here. I noticed after the game today, which we're recording here on the 12th of March, 2017. I noticed after the game today, which was the loss to Chicago, the noon, or the, I guess, 11:30 a.m. start in the central time, which is weird. And I want to talk about that for a minute too. These weird start times. But there is a definite vein of angst amongst Wild fans that is starting to creep in now. You know, look, the team is still leading the division. They're still leading the conference. They're going to the playoffs. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of what seed and against whom. So there really isn't a lot to complain about. That being said, they are 5-5 in the last 10. They're 4-4, I believe, since the pre-trade deadline acquisition of Hanzel and White. Doobie has not been great. Kemper has not been great. Scoring has been erratic. You know, where are you on your personal angst meter when it comes to the Wild right now?
Well, I was kind of trying to poke some of the angst folks on Twitter today, I think, with some of the couple of the tweets I was sending out as I was multitasking, watching the Twins game and IndyCar race and the Wild game kind of at the same time. But, you know, because there's the panic button does not need to be hit right now. Right. And the thing about today's game too, was it was, you know, against the Blackhawks. Yeah. And oh, the Blackhawks, they're just, it was like all of a sudden now, because the Wild have, you know, struggled just a little bit recently and now they've lost a couple in a row to the Blackhawks. It's like freak out mode and oh, they're just, it's David Goliath, you know,
right,
the
right.
Wild can't skate with the Blackhawks and they're so much better. And, you know, I'd say maybe that was true at some point, or, you know, maybe it still is if they match up in a playoff series and the Wild don't show up or something. Okay, maybe. But I, you know, they won a bunch in a row against them in the regular season, which people like to blow off and say, well, who cares? Because,
right.
You know, you don't win in the playoffs against them, which there's both sides to that. You know, I think you can't say that, oh, they just dominate the Wild when the Wild beat them a bunch in the regular season. You know, and I think it's not a point where you need to just start freaking out about it, because they really haven't had a bad stretch all season. I mean, right. What's, you know, losing games in a row, they just haven't done that this year, hardly at all. You know, they, right. If they lose a game, they come back and win and go on a winning streak. You know, they didn't have their January swoon. And, you know, March is probably not the best time to be not on top of your game, but, you know, it's still early enough. And they, you know, because of the great bye week, they have a lot of games here in a short amount of time. And, you know, there's still some time to kind of maybe recover from that and kind of get back to their game and what they were doing. But, you know, I think today from what I was seeing on Twitter too, was, you know, that, I mean, a lot of the chances today, a lot of the goals for Chicago, you know, it was one mistake by, you know, Dumba or, you know, Dubnyk, whatever. And it turned into a goal, and the Wild were just, you know, Crawford was pretty good as he often is. So, which that happens sometimes, you know, that can happen against any team. And I think people get really caught up in the, you know, oh, it's the big bad Blackhawks, and they get caught up in also the comparing it with the Twins and the Yankees.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of getting sick of that one, I guess. It's like, Is it really, like, I see what you're saying, but do we really have to just keep going back to that all the time?
Well, I get it. I mean, you know, three straight times, yeah. I get that. But and we still don't have, you know, I mean, the most frustrating aspect of today's game to me was that second period. They worked so hard. They created so many chances. Chance. They're definitely outplaying Chicago for the majority of the whole game. But, you know, they can't solve Crawford. They're doing everything possible. They can't solve him. Hossa gets a breakaway and scores a goal. You know, so that to me is the difference between these two teams. It's the Wild is so much less efficient when it comes to putting the puck in the net than Chicago is. And so I think that's what's most galling to me. But with 67 games played for the Wild this season to date, I just think they've earned more of a chance. I mean, this is not at this point with 15 games left, this is not any other Wild team that we've ever seen. This is maybe not any other NHL team Minnesota has ever seen in terms of regular season. So. I'm the first one to say, hey, you know, protect your heart. I get it, right? But a loss to Chicago at home, a third in 4 days, weird start time. You know, they didn't, as far as I can tell, they didn't use any of those things as an excuse. But you know, they still haven't lost three straight games this whole season. So let's. I think we can calm down a little bit here. These fans that are starting to get anxious, I just think that's excessive. And at this point, I
would completely agree. I think, you know, it's all of a sudden people are getting caught up in, you know, teams of the past. And I think what you mentioned about not being able to bury the chances has kind of been the Wild's MO in past seasons when they have struggled or they've gotten up against a tough goalie in the playoffs. And that's kind of always been the nagging thing, is they just don't have the finishers. And I think what's changed about this season is they've been able to score a ton of goals. I mean, right. I, you know, wrote something a couple months ago or whenever it was, just about all the goals they've been scoring this year, which is so different than anything right. I've ever seen from this team that would, you know, skate to 2-1 games all the time.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, as much as it would suck to get this team in the playoffs and have them lose out in the first round, or like I've said, even in the second round, you know, that'll definitely be disappointing and, you know, would be so frustrating. But at the same time, I think there's some of that element that we were talking about with the Gophers team applies here too, where this regular season has been so good that I think it's also a success.
Yeah.
You know, I agree. I don't think you can just look at the playoffs and think, well, the regular season just, it doesn't even matter at all.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the goal is to get to the playoffs and win a cup. We all know that, but, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, 6 months, you have a regular season and they're playing all these games that you're watching and fans are getting excited about. And, yeah. You know, it's been an exciting year for that too, which isn't something we're used to. So I think, you know, I would agree they deserve a little bit more of a break on this.
And, yeah, I'm not saying that we shouldn't expect them to win. I'm not saying that at all. But, on this show alone, I've said already this season that I do expect them to win now. I'm just saying that when they don't win, I don't think that the loss today to Chicago warrants any kind of anxiousness at this point. So that's what I'm saying. So last thing on the Wild, briefly before we go to final thoughts here, do you want to play Chicago in the playoffs? I mean, we're 1 point up on them with one game in hand. We wouldn't get them till the second round almost definitely at this point, if we get them at all. Where do you come down on that? Do you want to beat them to get that monkey off their back, or would you rather avoid them altogether? Cause I would rather, I'm totally on the fence on this one. I've thought about it. I like both ways. I think beating the Hawks would give them so much confidence. And the other good thing about beating the Hawks is, given the way the Hawks play, it would likely not be a very dirty series. So hopefully it wouldn't be a super taxing physical series, whereas playing like an Anaheim might be a little bit different. So I don't know. I just don't know which way I'm going to lean on this one at this point.
I don't know either. I honestly haven't given a ton of thought to it. I You know, I wouldn't mind him winning a few rounds without having to play Chicago. You know, if they, somebody else beats Chicago in the first round, great. You know, I don't think that they should have to, you know, want that or wish for that so fans can say, okay, they finally beat them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's one of those storylines that'll just keep getting brought up, you know, whenever they match up with them again in the playoffs, whether it's this year or not. You know, obviously that's a stat that's out there, just like the Bruce Boudreaux game 7 stat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a thing, and it's going to continue to be noteworthy because, you know, it's not a favorable statistic. But yeah, I don't know. I think it would be exciting. I think it would be a good series. You know, it's two division rivals, and, you know, I could kind of go either way too, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't match up with them, hey, I'm great. You know, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be kind of nice to see some other teams anyway sometimes.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, kind of what I think.
All right. Well, let's get into some final thoughts. I could go around and around on that particular debate for a long time, and it's all academic, but I think it is interesting. So hit us on Twitter. Let us know what you think, whether or not you want them to play Chicago in the playoffs, whether or not you want them to face them, and whether or not you would feel better as a Wild fan if they beat them, against the risk of them playing them and not beating them. But let us know what you think on that. I'm giving Heather a moment here to think of a final thought. You can definitely follow, or please do follow, I'm sure you already do, but follow Heather at HL Rule. You can read her writing pretty much everywhere, and obviously I encourage you to do so because her writing is very, very strong and obviously informed, as you can tell. And so, yeah, Heather, give me a final thought. Anything you want, anything that else you're covering, or anything else has caught your fancy here, Minnesota sports, recently?
Just kind of another plug for the state hockey tournament, and even before that, too, section finals. I think maybe a lot of people don't necessarily realize, you know, the state tournament gets national attention. It's such a huge deal, and it's big every year. But what people might not realize, if you're a little more casual hockey follower, is section finals or even section semifinals, sometimes depending on the competition, can be amazing games as well. Because especially with the section final, it's two teams that are playing to get to state, you know, which is everyone's goal every year. And you win that game and you get to, you know, go play at the XL Center, and your classmates get out of school a lot of times so they can go watch you. And, you know, some of the arenas that they play at, I mean, they're packed. I heard they were scalping tickets at Aldridge Arena. So I just would encourage people to maybe check out a section final next year for hockey. Or, you know, I know the AA state tournament fills up, usually sells out quickly for tickets, but, you know, come down and watch the Class A tournament, you know, or the championship game there, the semifinals. Semifinal Friday, I think, is probably my favorite day. It's, again, kind of that playing to get there, playing to get to the championship. So,
yep.
I would just encourage people to maybe get out to a few of those games in person, because they're really, really a lot of fun.
Outstanding. My final thought is, I don't know, I just learned this myself, that today in Minnesota, March 12th, 2017, was Soccer Day in Minnesota, as appointed by Governor Mark Dayton, because it was the MNUFC's home debut, MLS debut. They lost, but it was their first official MLS home game nonetheless. I understand the weather was pretty nasty, but from the pictures and everything else that I've seen, it looks like it was a heck of a good time. So welcome to the world, MNUFC. Welcome to MLS, and welcome to Minnesota. It's great to have pro soccer back in Minnesota at the largest possible level in the United States. All right, well, thanks for listening. For Brandon and the great Heather Rule, this is Nick, and we look forward to talking to you again soon, and everybody have a great week. Thanks.
Join Michael Russo on an exclusive 10-day trip, July 12th through the 21st, on an enchanting vacation to Scotland and Ireland. Define Destinations and MNSPN have teamed up to bring you this trip, which includes numerous meals, fun tours, as well as tasting some of the best scotch and whiskeys around. You'll check out distilleries, visit where Guinness is made, see the famous Loch Ness, and experience local culture, plus much, much more. Define Destinations does all the work. You have all the fun. Visit DefineDestinations.com or call 651-398-9358. That's 651-398-9358 for more details. DefineDestinations.com.